Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Okay. Page 7, session 6. Why are we going to the end? So I can say that I've finished. Okay, I want to do this now so that I can say that we finished. Okay, that's session 6, page 7.6. GN's practical steps of do's and don'ts. Now, again, as I said last week, this is primarily for those that would be ministering to others. However, there's some applications for us as well. And again, when I say primarily for those that are ministering to others, Jesus actually gave us a great commission, which told us that we're all to do it. And so, you know, we need to be ready just in case we're in a situation where we need to deliver somebody. Chris and I were in Uganda probably 4 or 5 times ago, and there was a guy that one of the workers had brought bound in cords and left him at the front gate, who was obviously demon-possessed, obviously being very much troubled by a spirit. And Chris and I went and prayed for him and was able to release him from his bonds, both spiritually and in the natural cords. But if we weren't aware of what we were doing, we would not have been ready to do what we needed to do. And so, you know, all of us should have the confidence, the authority, under some conditions. And some of those conditions I'm going to talk about now. So the do's. Don't assume. Now, what do I mean by that? Don't assume that the person you're going to pray for is a Christian. If they're not a Christian, then you can yell your guts out. You can pray your heart out. You can claim every scripture you want, and nothing's going to change, because they still belong to the kingdom of darkness and they're still sitting under God of this world. So I have learnt from bad experience, from doing it wrong. Most of my do's are from doing it wrong. To make certain that I take the person through the whole of the, what I would call the sinner's walk, to the point of salvation, so that I know that they've asked Jesus into their lives. So I know that they belong to Jesus, that they have transferred the legal title from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom. Okay, so don't assume. Prayer, obviously, given. If we don't pray, if we don't put prayer into it, then again, we're relying on self. Prayer not only invites God into the situation, but it works in our area. It creates us to grow in faith. I have the 6 things there. The 6 things there are for me, but I'll give you the 6 things because, again, they were a big part of my life growing up, and there was a period of time where I was very dry, and I need to know that these 6 things are operating in my life. Practicing the presence of God is number 1. And the last one, number 6, is letting go and letting God. So they're the pieces of bread in the sandwich. Practicing the presence of God and letting go and letting God. And then in the middle, to be a participator, not a spectator. To be a giver, not a getter. To listen, not to tell. And to obey, not ignore. And again, I have learnt from experience that when God talks, God knows what he's saying, and it's our job to obey. And it's not just obey, it's prompt obedience, no matter how wacky it might feel. And again, Dave Odd and I have been traveling together on this road for a long time. We ran a healing meeting here many years ago, and we would spend the afternoon of the healing meeting normally down on the Yarra, and we would pray and seek God for words of knowledge. And we learned very early in the piece not to try and put our thoughts into the words of knowledge, but to actually say the words of knowledge exactly as they were, not to add to or take away, not to powder coat it, not to put some padding on it to make it sound good, but to actually just speak the words. And there was often times, particularly with Dave, because he got some incredibly clean words of just, you know, such and such, such and such. God gave me da-da, da-da. And people would respond and they'd be healed, they'd be set free, they'd be impacted by God. So obedience is important. Little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, every place that you put the sole of your feet, well, I'll give you. And sometimes we expect things to happen in a big way, and that's the end. But the Bible talks about, you know, God giving us the ground little by little that we might be able to maintain it or contain it. And so, you know, don't expect, we can have faith for, and that's what we're believing for, but just remember to go slow. And it's like peeling an onion, it's little by little, because what's happening is that you are seeing a person's life transformed, their personality or what might be their personality, the way they've acted and lived for a long time. And so as you peel back some of these areas in their lives, they become very vulnerable. And if you do it too quick, then they can't contain it. And the Bible talks about that. So little by little, I have here, make them work, put them to the test. Don't become their enabler. If they want to be set free, then it's their job to do the hard yards. And, you know, it's not like coming to a doctor and getting a prescription and going home. You know, it's give them what they need to do, and when they come back next week, ask them if they've done it. If they haven't done it, then send them away again. And you might say, well, that's not very caring or loving. If I went to the doctor and I said, doctor, I've got such and such, and the doctor writes out a script and gives it to me, and I go back next week and say, doctor, it didn't work. Did you take the prescription? Oh, no, I don't like taking medicine. Well, that's what he's given it to you for. And so put them to the test. Give them scriptures to read. Give them things to memorize. Get them to do things so that you know that they're fair dinkum. You pick the time. We talked about that last week. 2 o'clock in the morning for me is not a good time. In fact, 7 o'clock at night is not a good time for me. First thing in the morning is a very good time for me. Come and see me at 6 o'clock, because that's when I'm really awake and that's when I'm really fresh. You pick the time if you're going to pray for somebody, if you're going to minister to somebody, because you're the one that's ministering. And again, if they really want to get better, they'll fit in with what you want to do. Remember their lying spirits. Remember that Satan is the father of lies. They're lying spirits. I had one demon once, and I was praying for somebody, and they said, we're not here anymore. And I'm not being silly. That's what they said. We're not here anymore. We're all gone. You can leave us now. We're finished. In short, don't listen to them. And they will talk. They often talk. And they will try and divert your attention. They'll try and do things that make you stop or make you think you're really, really good. Remember, they're lying spirits. And so don't believe them. If they say something, don't believe them. Test it. We need holiness. If we are not walking in accordance to God's word to the best of our ability, then the enemy knows that we haven't got the authority to do what we're doing. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and sharp and powerful. Thanks, help, Al. The word of God is quick and sharp and powerful, dividing between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the discerner of the thoughts, the intents of the heart. Remember the power of the word. Use the word. Use the word. Use the word. Ask God for scripture. Ask God for passages. You know, nothing is more powerful when you are speaking and praying for people than to read the word of God and say, the Bible says, okay? Isaiah 61:1-3, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The key, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. If we do not have the anointing of God upon us, then we're just a bag of wind. Okay, John 10:10, everybody tell me what it says. Don't look. I saw you looking. Don't look. You should know this one off by heart by now. I'll help you. The thief. All right. Don't put it up, Al. Luke 10:19. I'll give you the start. Behold, I give. No. Behold, I give you power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the work of the enemy and... Put it up for them, Al. Oh, you've got it up there. Cheats. Okay, again, remember what the Word of God says. And then finally, Ephesians 6, 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. Why would God put that in the Bible if he didn't want us to know that it might look like flesh and blood, but it's not? Okay, de-emotionalize it. Remember that you're fighting Satan and his evil works. And remember that you have been given authority over it. Take the people out of it. Take the situation and make it spiritual, not emotional. You know, we'll listen to people talk, we'll listen to people share their stories, and it'll be a heart sob, I guarantee you. And, you know, I'm full of compassion, you can see that. Donna, she laughed at me then when I said that. I have got compassion, but I do want to see people set free. The scripture, my biblical purpose is to see people set free, to stop people from being robbed, to see them have life to the full. And again, when you go to the doctor and he says, look, I'm going to have to lance that, he knows full well it's going to hurt. You know, don't you love it when they say to you, it's going to be just a little prick? It's not a little prick, I can tell you. But they make you think it's going to be a little prick. They want to talk to you. And what have you been doing? You know, why? They're giving you something because they know it's going to make you better. And so remember, it's not flesh and blood that you're dealing with. You're dealing with an enemy who's stealing, who's robbing, who's destroying that person's life. And God has given you authority and power to help them be set free. And you can use it. Okay? I have here, think of how the enemy reacts or would work. And again, it's something that comes from loving reading war books right from an early age, Douglas Bader, Reach for the Sky, etc., etc. But, you know, the enemy is the enemy. And I often say, excuse the way I say this, put yourself in the enemy's shoes. If you were the enemy, what would you be doing now? How would you work? What would you do? Think like what the enemy's going to think, and then you can counter what he's going to do. Expect a reaction. You know, I remember Chris having a multiple operation some years ago, and she really went through a battle physically, and the surgeon would come in, and Chris would be in mammoth pain, struggling seriously for her life, and he would get the chart, and he'd go, how are you today? Oh, good, good, that's great. Well done, keep it up, bye. Why? Because he knows what he's done. He's split it from the top to the bottom, he's pulled out her guts and put them over here, and he's put that over there, and then he's pushed it all back in again and sewn her up. He knows that it's going to be painful, that it's going to hurt, there's going to be bruising, but he's looking at the chart. Temperature's fine, blood pressure's fine. What else, Steph? That'll do. That's, if you got those two right, you're pretty good, aren't you? Yeah. Oh, don't worry about the blood sugar. No. The heart's working and the temperature's okay. In short, you know, you're exactly what we expect. And so if you're ministering to somebody, expect a reaction. Expect that, you know, the enemy is going to come back in a flood to try and get back in, to try and pack that, get the ground back, that things aren't going to be nice. It's not going to be easy. Don't ask them how they're feeling. Just, oh, that's normal. Good on you. Expect this. Okay. Matthew 12:29 just talks about binding the strong man. Thanks, Al. Matthew 12:29. How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? Don't forget to pray and say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you. I bind your strong men. I bind your captains. I bind your principalities. I bind you that we might now plunder your house, according to Matthew 12:29. And remember, we said it last week, deliverance breaks the power, but we have to deal with the habit patterns. And again, encourage people, tell people that, you know, You've got to put this into action. You've got to start to put into action what you believe God is doing in your life. Of course, we talked about this. Look for legal grounds. Look for the past sins. Look for curses. Look for anything that might be hindering or stopping you seeing breakthrough in a person's life. And then, of course, I gave them to you last week. Use the victory scriptures. Give them the victory scriptures. Encourage them to pray, read through the scriptures. Encourage them to put on the armour of God. This is all part of them exercising not only faith themselves for their own deliverance, but it's also strengthening them, encouraging them, building them up in their most holy faith. And then the don'ts. And the don'ts are incredibly important. No man and woman on their own for deliverance, ever. And I mean that seriously, ever. You're dealing with emotional things, you're dealing with an enemy who's seriously out to get you, and this area opens you up incredibly. So if there's a lady, make certain you've got another lady with you, ministering with you. If it's a man, make certain you've got a man ministering to a man. Okay? Don't pray without knowing their spiritual condition. I have seen so many people damaged over life because of not only novices, but people being Rambos, thinking that it doesn't apply. If you don't know their spiritual condition, then you could damage them or hurt them more. You could leave them in a worse condition than what they've already been in. So you make certain that you know their spiritual condition, which means that you counsel them beforehand. You speak to them beforehand. You question them. You look into the fruit of their lives. You look into the things that are happening in their lives. Number three there, don't pray for deliverance if you don't know, or if you know that the person can't hold on to it. And again, that just fits with the first one that I just said there. Don't pray for somebody without approval of their spiritual covering, if that's applicable. Be aware of what I call spiritual hypochondriacs who have many spiritual advisors. In short, don't minister to somebody if they're going to four or five other people for counselling. Don't become one of their specialists. Okay, if you know that they're receiving counselling from somebody else, then encourage them to keep going to that one person. It'd be like sending, like a person going to five doctors and getting five different prescriptions and telling them five different stories. There are what I call spiritual hypochondriacs out there. Again, this is my caring nature. And lastly, don't become a demon or curse mad person. Remember, we are Jesus people. Remember that we are all about Jesus and Jesus coming that we might have life to our full. Our walk is those six things, and our power is prayer. Our power is using the Word of God and obeying what God says. So don't let Satan get his willies off just because you're making him look big, okay? Okay, so that's the end. Let's close in prayer. No, we're going right back now to, in your notes, it'll be page 3, session 5. And it's point number 16, the types of demons. Now, you would have got this tonight, common demon groupings. Everyone got that? Given out tonight with your notes. Who didn't get it? Okay, they're over there. Just can we have a couple of people just give them out, please, quick? Okay, important that you have it. There's some on the stairway, thank you. Keith didn't get one. Did anyone miss out over here? Okay, last week I thought, and the week before we discussed it with Nick, last week I tried to fix a little bit and didn't feel as though I did a good job. And so this explains what we tried to say last week in more detail. And this is incredibly important. If you go to page 3, sorry there's no notes on it, so the front page, table of contents, the next page. And let's just run through a couple of things here. Top para, demons run in gangs and work together to effectively torment and destroy their human victims. This list of common demon groupings was initially created by Frank Hammond and his wife, Ida May, through years of experience and hundreds of deliverance and deliverance ministers. It comes from their excellent book, Pigs in the Parlour. Put a big underline in Pigs in the Parlour. It's a practical guide to deliverance. This is an area that God has put on your heart. Then I encourage you read it, but only read it in conjunction with the Bible, okay? Because you are reading somebody else's experience. And the worst thing that we can do is use somebody else's experience to become our Bible. The Bible is our Bible, and their experience is a guide to help us in where we go. Just as much as Derek Prince's notes are his notes, Hal Oxley's notes are his notes, my notes are my notes, Nick's notes are her notes, Andy's notes are his notes. You know, key comes back to us seeking God, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us to guide us, to lead us, and to give us the wisdom that we need. And again, remember, we have the spiritual gifts, discerning of spirits, gifts of knowledge, gifts of wisdom that we can call upon to minister into people's lives. And so, again, Pigs in the Parlour, a really, really, really good book, and I'd encourage you to read it. Para 3, when studying this list of unclean spirits, keep in mind that demons are identified according to their nature, and each demon is a specialist in that nature. So if you look at bitterness, then it's a bitter demon or a spirit of bitterness. Okay, the list of 53 demon groupings or gangs starts with the ruling spirit, the leader at the top, who is the strong man, and the members of his clan underneath. So the top one, like on the list that we have in point 16, are the rulers, and then underneath that you have what I call the lesser. Now, don't fall into the habit of thinking the bottom one is the lesser one. That's not necessarily the case, but we do know who the ruler or the captain is. The ruling spirit is frequently the first to invade a person, usually, now underline this, usually through childhood trauma, or inherited generational curses. And that's an incredibly important thing. These demonic rulers like to use a form of rejection to gain entrance if possible. And again, Andy and others would know that I believe that rejection is virtually at the base of everything. I believe even rejection and insecurity at the base of everything, and that the enemy will use those things to get in, and he loves rejection. By using rejection as the initial trauma or wounding, they can keep it festering through unforgiveness and bitterness. Whether a person knows it or not, unforgiveness is a major stumbling block in the spiritual realm and ultimately in day-to-day living. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then finally at the bottom, it is only by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and the truth revealed in the Bible that freedom from them is possible. I picked one that I wanted to do. Okay, go to number 7 and number 8. Spirit of rejection, spirit of insecurity. And again, there's no more important than others, but these two, I believe, really do hold the key often. Fear of rejection, self-rejection. And again, when you go through these groupings, you'd be surprised at how many times the word self comes up in it. And that is us applying something to ourselves. You know, we're going to talk about forgiveness in a minute, but if we don't forgive ourselves, then we are holding unforgiveness. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, we must deal with those things that we look upon ourselves into, because often it's how we see ourselves that we are giving the enemy a legal hold in our lives. You know, what does the Bible say in that Great Commission? Love God and love your neighbour as yourself. Okay, how important it is to love ourselves in the right way. All right, then insecurity, inferiority, self-pity, loneliness, timidity, shyness, inadequacy, ineptness. I would guarantee if I asked you all to close your eyes and I read out spirit of insecurity or insecurity, inferiority, self-pity, loneliness, timidity, shyness, inadequacy, that probably 80 or 90% of you would put your hand up for one of those things, because the enemy works like that. So again, as I asked you to do last week with the occult grouping. I'd encourage you to read that. Remember, don't become demon hunters, and don't just highlight them because, oh, that's me, because you'll probably have 52 out of the 53 and you'll probably have 7 out of each of them, okay? It's what binds us, what holds us, what drags us down, what the ability causes us to not be free. Okay, debilitates us is the word I was looking for. Okay, so we're going to move on from there. We are ripping through it. This is so good. Everyone having a good time? Okay, let's go to page 3 of session 6. Anyone have any questions, first of all, on just any of those things that I've just said? Got room for one question? No, that's good. Fantastic. Don't say you didn't get an opportunity. Okay, steps to deliverance. Now, this not only applies to you praying for somebody, that this applies to you praying for yourself. And again, I am a very big one on self-deliverance. I believe in it. I believe it's the first step of what we should be doing every time. And so this is how you are to act with yourself and how you are to act if you are ministering or praying with somebody else. And I believe this is the case in all counselling, these sets of notes for all parts of counselling. One must be honest with himself and with God if he expects to receive God's blessing of deliverance. In Psalm 32:5 it says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Remember, clearly in this scripture, it's saying unto God. You know, we only have to confess our faults one to another if this doesn't work. Confess your faults one to another, scripture says, that you might be healed. Of course, confessing is great. But first of all, confess to God. Bring it to God. And, you know, again, God's word says that our sins are as far as the east is to his west in his sight, that he remembers them no more. And again, in most cases, we don't have to go and blab it to everybody else. Only to God. But if that doesn't work, then go and talk to somebody else, and normally a counsellor, normally somebody who you can trust, somebody who's not going to go and tell everybody else, somebody who hasn't got the spirit of gossiping. Okay, they're bad people, all right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. And again, you've got to read Psalm 139 to understand the background of this. This is David talking about God knowing everything about him. And then it goes on and talks about being formed in the mother's womb and everything that's been written is in the book, etc., etc. And then David finishes off with these two beautiful, beautiful passages at the end of Psalm 139. Search me, O God. You don't ask somebody to search you. You don't ask somebody to unpack your life if you don't trust them explicitly that they're going to do you good. And so you've got to know when you ask God to look at you, that he loves you, he cares for you, he's got your best interest at heart, and he just wants to see you set free. All right, the next point is humility. This involves a recognition that one is dependent upon God and his provisions for deliverance. Obviously, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Again, if you don't act humbly and if you don't submit yourself to God, and as I said last week, and one other scripture says, cleanse my heart. If you don't do that, then there's no way that you're going to be able to resist the devil if he's fleeing, because he knows that you haven't been humble. It also involves a complete openness with God's servants ministering the deliverance. So confess your faults one another, we talked about. Repentance. Repentance is a determined turning away from sin. And Amos, I love this scripture, can two walk together except they be in agreement? You know, when you're holding hands with somebody and walking, you are in agreement with them. Okay? And so, you know, if we're going to walk in agreement with Satan and the things that he does, then we are literally holding hands with him. You've got to let go. You've got to repent. You must loathe your sin. Renunciation is the forsaking of evil. Renunciation is the action resulting from repentance. And Matthew 3 says, bring forth fruits, therefore, meet for repentance. This scripture in Acts is a very important one, Acts 19:18-19. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, many of them also, which used curious arts, that's occult practice, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price to them, and they found it was 50,000 pieces of silver. How much was Jesus betrayed for, somebody? 30 pieces of silver. When the Bible puts a figure in there, it's there for a reason. If Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and we're talking about them burning books worth 50,000 pieces of silver, really what God's saying is, don't count the cost for your freedom. Get rid of everything. And there'll be many of us that have things at home that have been passed down to us from past generations, trinkets. Maybe I know one guy that had some stuff passed down from his father, who was a grand poobah in the Masonic Lodge. And he was gold trinkets. He had everything. And it was valuable. I encouraged him to throw it away. He wanted to melt it down because the gold was worth a lot of money. And I said, no, chuck it away, mate. It's not worth it. You know, we might have things that have been given down to us through generations, jewelry, clothing, paintings, works of art, whatever the case may be. If you know that you know that you know that God has said they're no good, then just chuck them out, burn them, put them on a fire. And again, if we had time, Chris and I could tell you story after story of doing that with people, praying through their homes, seeking God as we pray through rooms, looking through bookshelves, looking through jewelry, looking through clothing. I'll just give you one. There was one lady in our church many years ago who married, wanted to have kids and couldn't have kids. She was miscarrying often, and finally she came to Chris and I, and we felt that there was a curse upon her life. And again, we just have to say it's God revealing it to us, but we wanted to pray through her home. And we did, and we came into their bedroom, and I said, there's something in here that is not right. And I said, do you have any clothing or jewelry that's not yours? And she said, oh yeah, I've got my mum's stuff. And her mum turned out to be clairvoyant, which we didn't know about. And she'd given her daughter when she died, willed her daughter when she died, all of her jewelry, all of her clothing. And Chris and I together got the stuff, and we literally divided it in half. And I said, now tell me about the two piles. And she said, that pile was my mum's and that pile was mine. Right down the line, we got it. We told her what we're telling you guys right now. She happily bagged everything, jewelry, everything, into a bag, gave it to Chris and I. We took it and threw it down the tip. That lady fell pregnant on her next cycle, and she now has three beautiful children. Now, no glory to us, but what I'm saying is that renunciation is a powerful thing. And I'll guarantee you right now, in this room, there'll be many of you that have got things in your bookshelves, things in your homes that have been given to you that you count as valuable, but hold you to the past. It might be letters from past girlfriends or boyfriends. That might be stuff that was given to you by somebody that was a soulmate that's not walking with God. Whatever the case is, allow God to guide you. And just seriously, go into your home and say, God, if there be anything in this house, if there be anything that I have right now that I should not have, I pray that you would reveal it to me. And God will. God will. His Holy Spirit will. Because God wants to see you set free. And then it comes back to you as to whether you're going to be obedient or not. Forgiveness. God freely forgives all who confess their sins and ask forgiveness through his Son. And we know those scriptures. I need to hurry quickly. I've just got there. Forgiveness itself is a must. And again, I'm sure you understand the whole area of forgiveness. Remember, the person that didn't forgive was handed over to the tormentor. Who is the tormentor? Come on. Satan, thank you. Okay, if you see somebody in torment, then I'll guarantee you they have unforgiveness. okay? Guarantee, 100%. If you see somebody in torment, they have unforgiveness. Okay, prayer. Ask God to deliver you and set you free. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be, one or some versions say, saved. And if you unpack that word saved, you will find it says delivered. Okay, and then of course warfare. Prayer and warfare are two separate and distinct activities. Prayer is towards God. Warfare is towards the enemy. Enter the battle with determination, assurance of victory. Christ cannot fail. He is the deliverer. Not you, not me. He is the deliverer. It's Christ that sets us free. So steps to breaking a curse. And again, we went through curses. I think Nick went through curses. We need to do this very quickly, but it's important that we do it. Believe that full provision of every need has been met at the cross. The scriptures are there. Confess your faith in Christ. Commit yourself to obedience. Confess any known sins of yourself or your ancestors. We'll do that when we pray later. Forgive all other people. Again, back on forgiveness. Renunciation, of course. If there be anything that you have in your house that doesn't belong to you or that's been passed down, look at it closely. Release yourself in the name of Jesus from the curse. Okay, and now we're going to come to the occult checklist. Who looked through the checklist? Good on you. How many people highlighted things in their checklist? Good on you. Okay, again, that's what we need to do. Look through these things. Look through this groupings. And again, we're not doing it again to chase demons. We're doing it to allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to things that we might not have thought about. There's a couple of things in there that I want to talk about quickly. And can I say to you that God looks at the heart of man. And there were some things that we would call pagan or come from Eastern religions or come from other religions in times past that would create mammoth pressure. We have a camphor wood chest at home. My mum gave it to us as a wedding present, I think. 21st. Your 21st. Gee, it's old. At the time it was given to us, we loved it, and we still love it. But at that period of time that camphorwood chests were incredibly popular, a whole lot of the lids were carved and stuff like that. A lot of Asian people were given camphorwood chests, but the camphorwood chests, their carving was spiritual, and their carving was negatively spiritual. And so in those cases, our camphorwood chest is good, but their camphorwood chest needed to be chucked out because it had been done with a negative spiritual stuff. And Dave Odd would be able to tell us quickly how many things in New Guinea are spiritual. You know, we will go over there and go to a market and we'll see this face and think, oh, isn't that a lovely thing? And we'll hang it on our wall. But that face or that carving that we're hanging on our wall has come from black magic or come from the witch doctor or come from some cursed thing. And so, you know, we just need to seek God's face in regard to the things that we've got, the trinkets we've got. I wouldn't go and buy a tiki, one of those little tiki things that you put around your neck, because I know what happens over in New Zealand. As much as I wouldn't have an Aboriginal artifact, because I know what spirit is behind it. Now, you might think, oh, Graham, that's disgusting. You know, you're being quite rude and you're not being nice. But no, I want my freedom. And so you just got to make certain that you allow God to guide you in there. There's things like acupuncture. Sure. Sure. If you've got the authority and you feel good about that, I wouldn't. I'd chuck it out. I'd burn it. I just don't think it's worth having. Because again, if it's been offered to an idol or it's been prayed over in a negative way, then, you know, again, you've invited it into your house. Now, you're right, you could pray over it. But again, I think that I'd put that into the renunciation place.
So okay. The
huh?
Bibles.
Yeah, I'd get rid of that. Yeah, definitely. But I wouldn't get rid of my King James. This one, this is beautiful. There's no way I'd get rid of this Bible. Okay? But, you know, sure, the Mason's Bible I'd get rid of. You bet I would. Okay, what about acupuncture? Acupuncture in old was putting needles in people and praying over those needles in a negative way while they did it. Yet now you go to a physio and they will give you dry needling. Okay, I don't have a problem with that because the spirit behind what they're doing is different to the spirit behind acupuncture. However, I feel very strongly that hypnosis should not be done. And I'll give you a scripture for that. Bringing your mind into captivity, every thought into captivity. Hypnosis is all designed about taking your mind into Nana land. You don't know what's going to be filled in there while your mind is not on God. So again, in short, you've got to allow God to lead and guide you. If you start arguing with God as to why you shouldn't get rid of something or break something or whatever, then normally you've given yourself an answer as to why you should, because you're arguing with God why you shouldn't. Okay, I'm not going to go through the list, but if you've underlined those things in there, when we come to pray tonight, what I'd like you to do is use your list when you renounce curses over your life, or when you renounce that the enemy has had a legal hold on your life. You with me? You with me, Doug? Okay, good stuff. I'm trusting that you've read it. Okay. Okay, where are we at? All right, I'd like you to go now to past the do's and the don'ts to the summary. Number 7, is that your number? Okay. All right. We've done this incredibly quick, and I do apologise, I really do. As Andy says, that... you know, this is the end. But on the same token, if it really has pricked your attention or interest, there's, of course, the book, Pigs in the Parlour. There's Derek Prince's stuff, a lot of stuff on blessing and curses, a lot of stuff on ministry that you could read. These notes you could go through again. But one of the best things that you can do is read the Bible and allow the scriptures to become alive to you. One of the reasons that we've done this is because when we did the spirit realm early in the year, there was so much interest in it that we realised we'd only just mountaintopped it. And so the deep dive is what Andy decided, and I'm thankful that he did, because I think this stuff is incredibly important and I think it's lost in so many churches. So let's just summarise now, and then what we're going to do is we're actually going to pray. And again, we're going to bank on the fact that we're talking about self-deliverance now. We're banking on the fact that you guys have read the Bible, you've read the notes, you have an understanding, you have a sense of authority, and that your eyes have been opened to the things that might be holding you back. And that you are now putting your feet on the ground that you're going to take. You are going to drive out the giants that are in your land. Okay, and then if people want further ministry, then what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to ring the office and make an appointment, and myself, Andy, Nick, Chris, Davod, there are so many people that we can put you in the right direction towards that will follow you up and work with you. Okay, but let's work on the basis that in most cases we can deliver ourselves, as much as in most cases when we get sick our body heals itself. Okay, so summary. Remember that people are delivered without being aware of it, even as they mature in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we grow stronger, as we become more victorious, as we start to recognize our authority, we start to see things go. I said it last week, I'll say it again. Light casts out darkness. And as you start to see light through Jesus shining into your life, you can believe that darkness goes. All right? And I mean believe that darkness goes. Remember not to blame demon power for all and every trouble that we have. Sometimes we are just seeing the outworking of the world in our lives. But on the same token, that doesn't mean that we can't believe God to heal or deliver or to fix us up. Deliverance ministry, as a general statement, is the last resort. Can I get you to highlight, underline, do whatever you can to make last resort of ministry important? In the old days, back when deliverance went to extremes and became a dirty word in church, everybody was going around hooky-booking everybody. Everyone was blaming a demon for everything. Okay, critical key is that if we're not walking properly, then we're opening up the door to the demonic. And so it comes back to our walk. And therefore, our job, first of all, is to help people with their walk. Coming to church, joining a home group, being involved in community, reading the Bible, praying, fasting. You know, there's so many things that we should be doing for ourselves first. Okay? And even though I believe that God is a one-stop shop, just as much as Bunnings is a one-stop shop, I think it's very good that we've got a Bunnings opposite the church. Okay, it's not like we go and get somebody to do all the work for us. You know, I get the window washer person to come in and wash my windows. I got the lawnmower man to come and wash my lawn. I get the car person to come and wash my car. And I get my wife to cook my meals. It's not the way it should be, except for the wife cooking your meals. That one should happen, okay? We have to do the work. And if we're looking for somebody else to do the work, then without being nasty, find another patsy. D, remember, deliverance ministry is not a solution to a possessed or oppressed person's problem. It's only the doorway to a positive, victorious life in Christ in which correct thinking, acting and speaking are essential. There are some people whose wills are bound. There are some people who, for the life of them, cannot be set free because their will is bound. And so sometimes you need to help people to have their will set free so that they can then start to put into action the things that they want to do. And that is real, but it's a rarity that somebody's will is bound. Remember, nothing takes the place of a maturing, deepening walk in the living Word of God, filled with His Spirit and entering into to the greatest extent possible in living into fellowship with the saints. Okay, Andy, do you want to say anything? Nick, do you want to say anything? Dave, do you want to say anything? Great. All right, I'd like you all to stand, please, and let's go to point 8, the prayer of release. Al, I think we have that on the screen, do we? Thank you. By the way, you have successfully gone through 352 scriptures in this series. So well done to all of you. Give yourselves a clap. Isn't it lovely to come into a church where the Bible is opened and to hear the Word of God being preached? You know, when we ask for salvation calls, we often say to people, let's all pray this prayer. And it's not that everybody's getting saved, but praying the prayer of salvation is a powerful thing. And so, you know, you might not have anything that you think you need release from, but I'd like everybody to pray this prayer. Okay. Al, I think we might go off the screen. And is there another screen after that? Yeah. Okay. So let's read it off the screen so that we're all in sync. And those of you who are in prayer warfare, who's in prayer warfare with Chris? Carol? Hey, can you look at me for a minute? Can you go at the back with Chris, please? Those of you who are used to being in prayer warfare, I'd like you to just go at the back and just pray with Chris right now, please. And just pray for everyone. Chris, can we have a couple over this side too, please? Nick and Andy, would you like just to go at the back? Cass, would you go with them, please, for me? Thanks. Matt, Narelle, okay. Just, I'd like you praying from the back, if you wouldn't mind, please. Put your hands out over the congregation and let's just go into warfare for these that we're praying for now. If I missed anybody, Davey Ott, of course, you can do it, or you can do it where you are. All right, thanks. Hey? Great. All right, let's do this. Lord Jesus Christ, you say it together. Let's all do it together. I believe that you are the Son of God, and the only way to God, that you died on the cross for my sins, that you rose again from the dead. I believe you redeemed me by your blood. I belong to you and want to live for you. You are my master, my saviour and Lord. Just stop there for a minute. Okay, so really that is a salvation prayer. And today I'm going to ask you, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved? Is there anybody that has any doubt about their salvation? Anyone have anything coming into their brain now that says you're not good enough to be saved? That feels as though they've done something or anything that has alienated them from being saved. Does anyone here feel like that? Okay, so I'm going to assume that every one of you in this room are saved. Is that good? All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. There you go. We've got consensus. Okay, let's go on with I confess. I confess all my sin, whether known or unknown. Now stop. Stop and wait and just see if the Holy Spirit drops anything into your mind. Now again, we're thinking here, God, if there be anything that I haven't confessed or that I need to confess, put it in my mind right now. And if that's the case, under your breath, but at least move your lips, speak it out. Okay, let's move on and say, I am sorry for them. I renounce them now. And now we move on. I forgive all others as I want you to forgive me. And the same thing. Stop and allow God to drop into your mind. People, whatever the situation, circumstance, might be back to your childhood. It might be something that you've had come up. It's part of your life now. Remember, forgive yourself as well. Is there anyone in this room tonight that you've been feeling as though you're being tormented? Just put your hand up if you feel that's you. Okay, can I have some of the people that are praying just to come and put their hand on these people? So if you feel as though you've been tormented, just put your hand up. Heavenly Father, we just pray for those that have got their hands right now. Lord God, we know that Satan is a tormentor and we know that unforgiveness results in torment. Father, we break the spirit of torment off their lives right now. Lord God, set them free. Father, particularly free from unforgiveness of self right now. Lord God, just minister into their lives right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Okay, let's keep on there. Forgive me now and cleanse me with your blood. Next one, thanks, Al. I renounce all curses, whether known or unknown, and claim Galatians 3:13. My Lord Jesus took upon himself our curse, and I claim my release from them now in Jesus' name. I break the hold of anything I or any of my ancestors have been involved in that would have brought a curse upon me and give the enemy a legal hold on my life. Now again, we're going to remember the four things, and for those of you that have written anything or underlined anything in your pages of occult checklist, remember the four things: idolatry or occult practice, injustice to the weak and the helpless, dishonouring of parents, and then the fourth one was sexual sin, okay? And those sexual sin covers nine sexual sins or nine groupings of sexual sin. And again, you know whether you've been involved in that or you know whether your ancestors have been involved in that. Remember the fruit that Nick talked about when she did too? I can't remember the whole of the nine of them, but I'll give you a few. Mental breakdown, miscarriages or female-related problems, poverty even when you got enough money, accident prone, sickness or unnatural death, or suicides. Okay, so if you've seen any of that in your family line, then again, that's a good indicator of a curse. But you would know that from when you were listening to Nick talk, and if anything came up, then what you're dealing with is here. So let's say that there's idolatry and occult practice in your family, and you've highlighted some of those things in your generations. Father, I renounce idolatry and occult practice, particularly in the things that you've underlined, just speak them out. Okay, take some time here because this is incredibly important. All right, so let's just do that to ourselves. If you have had an abortion, then it sounds tough, but I want you to be free. Then confess that, ask God's forgiveness, and again, realize that as you do this, you are again breaking a curse that you allowed to come upon your life. All right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Keep going. You just do this stuff now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just love you, Lord God. There's a whole lot of you that have had secret societies, that you've been involved in Ouija boards, what you'd call soft stuff. If in doubt, chuck it out. So if in doubt, just say it anyhow. But I just know right now that this is a very important thing that you're doing. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, we love you, Lord God. I'd like you to say after me, don't look at the board for this one because it's not on the board. I renounce all things, whether known or unknown, because there's some unknown things in this room right now that God wants to deal with, things that you're not aware of but that are holding you down. I renounce known and unknown things in Jesus' name. Is there another screen, Al? Thank you. Okay, let's move on. Forgive me now and cleanse me with your blood. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses me now from all sin. I come to you as my deliverer. You know my special need. The things that bind, torment, defile, that unclean spirit, that evil spirit, I now claim the promise of your word. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be set free. Jesus, I call upon you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver me and set me free. Now, this is where you exercise your authority. Satan, I renounce you and all your works. I loose myself from you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave in right now. Okay, let's just start praising God. And again, remember, spirits are breath, and so you can breathe them out, you can cough them out, and if you're coughing and you're not really coughing out a demon, still cough, okay? But you can cough them out. Remember, you're standing on them, breathe them out, cough them out. If you've been involved in sexual sin, especially masturbation, shake your fingers, okay? Shake your fingers. Let them go, all right? Forget what's happening around you. Forget other people. This is your freedom. This is what we're fighting for right now. And again, Dave or Andy or anyone, if you've got a word of knowledge for anybody tonight, bring it out. But let's just keep doing it. Remember, self-deliverance. We're claiming ground. We're taking ground. We are walking in the victory that Christ has won for us right now. If you pray in tongues, start praying in tongues. But again, when you're praying in tongues, you're using breath. And sometimes they can't come out because you're doing all the talking. So breathe them out too. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord God. Set people free right now, right across this audience, Lord God. Right across this audience. Lord God, let there be breaking forth of your spirit right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Sense that someone here is counting the cost. When Graham talked about the artifacts and counting the cost, and there is someone here that is in a real war, and you think that there is something there, but you are justifying why to keep it, and I just feel that you need to know that that is God speaking to you, and it is, what did Graham say, what is the cost versus our freedom? And so if that's you, then I encourage you to submit that and commit that to God and stop counting the cost and to get rid of the thing. And you would know the war that is on in your mind, and that is the enemy trying to convince you. So I think that might be for someone.
With artifacts, I asked an elder in a village once, how do you make these masks and things? He said, we go into the jungle, we fast and we pray until we see an evil spirit. We then carve what we see. Now somebody asked, can't we just cast them out? I wouldn't bother. Why keep the image of an evil spirit? And that's how they did it. I also felt while Gray was speaking about unforgiveness that there are people here, you have been sexually molested and you struggle so much to forgive. Just please let the word of God come and say, I forgive. It's hard, but man, you'll be free.
As I was reading through the list of the occult checklist earlier, P was, do you hold resentments towards any other person? Are there people in your family or elsewhere with whom you have bad relationships? And what just stood out to me was that it was like people are saying, oh, couldn't be that bad, could it? Well, it's under the occult checklist. So if you hold resentments, then make sure you deal with it.
Just had this morning, and I've been praying it all day, and we actually prayed it last Friday in prayer warfare, Revelations. Then I saw heaven open. So this is where we've got a picture. We've got a picture past now, past temporal. Start having those eyes of faith be opened and go into the spirit realm. But go with this scripture. It's just beautiful. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. That's why it makes so much sense to me now, that eyes on the Lord and just let his will be done. My will is his will. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And remember that that's an army on following him on white horses. So there's the white horse, but then there's an army of white horses going out to make war on our behalf. and from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the God of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, yep, we're in a battle, but we just stay close to that white horse and then let his will be our will.
Thanks. Okay, a couple of quick things before we close. We live in a world of compromise, a world of sexual impurity, a world of the occult, a world where we are being told that male and female don't exist, that any sexual thing that you want to do goes. And this is for everybody, but particularly for the young people. Don't compromise what God's word says. Don't get sucked in to the PC world that we live in. Remember, sex outside of marriage is lust. It's not love. It's not purity. It's not honouring God. And again, our job is to make certain that we present ourselves as a spotless white bride for Christ. And so I just challenge everybody, but particularly the young people, don't let the world rob you of what God's got in store for you. Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for these people. Lord God, I stand against the enemy that would try and come back in now and try and rob people. I stand against confusion. I stand against doubt. I stand against fear. Lord God, I stand against those things that might happen tomorrow as we go to work, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would keep our minds not only on you, but Lord God, that you would lift us high tonight and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and that we would start to see, Lord God, not only us becoming more and more victorious in you as we take ground, but Father, we would start to see those things that have been troubling us, that have been holding us back, dropping off. Father, for those that have trouble sleeping, for those that have nightmares, for those that, Lord God, have things in their life that just they don't want to face, I pray that you would give them a new bold strength. Father, that they would go forward now with power, with might, in your name. And so we just give you thanks in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for your attention and for coming out for 7 weeks. It's been fantastic. You have done us good, and we really appreciate you immensely. Thank you very much.